I had empathy, but it was just, I sounded like a dick because I just looked like I brushed over, like, this guy almost died. Oh, fuck it. That sucks.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Kill it.
And now, here are your hosts,
always gonna be
Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 201. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. Did I say that twice?
You said that twice, and god damn it.
Did I say that?
So we did it, and I'm looking at the screen.
Oh,
and
my fucking goodness.
And it's fucking gray. I don't see any blue line. I'm like, wait a minute. Did I hit record? I did not hit record.
Yeah, so we're talking, chatting, and just chatting.
Just talking to ourselves.
Which we normally do anyways on a day-to-day, so it's all fucking good.
Please excuse the dog. The dog is outside, so she will be barking. I can't do anything about that. Sorry, guys.
Episode 201, guys.
Yes.
It's good to know we're back on top of things.
Oh, yeah. Well, it feels like our first episode, right?
Well, at least we have some sort of structure, dude. We know what we're doing, and we have a lot to talk about. Before we jump into it, though, how are you feeling, first
God
of all?
God damn it. Oh, I have to do this over again. I'm getting better. I wasn't feeling good this week. It's really fucking hot. Heat wave in Orange County, so we're burning
kind
up.
Of,
I mean, it could be worse. Our house could be underwater.
True that.
I feel bad for Texas, Houston. Guys, please be safe.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm doing okay, man.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, dude. It feels like I haven't recorded with you in a while, and it's only been a week.
It's only been a week.
Yeah, okay. Did you do anything exciting this weekend?
Nothing really. I just kind of hung out, watched a fight at home.
Good.
Paid for it.
Of course, of course.
Of course I paid for it. And I thought it was a good fight. You went to my Sadie's house.
Yeah, dude. Sadie from last week, dude. He invited us over, so Manny picked me up, and we went on over. Always good to chill with the old school wrestlers, dude. Just love it. Good guy time. Good people in general. Dude, it was a potluck. Everyone took a lot of beer, a lot of food. So it was dope, man.
Nice.
Fucking always have a good time. And the fight was good, dude.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good fight. It's one of the best
Mayweather fights
I've ever seen in my
life. Yeah, for sure, dude. And McGregor made him work for it.
Yeah, he did.
And he did gas out. Yes.
He gassed out bad.
Bad, but still a great fight, man.
You know, I wish I would have saw him throw some harder punches in the beginning.
But, yeah, me too.
You know what? He's not a boxer. He's a fighter.
Yeah.
So any other
all
fight,
around fighter, dude.
Any other fight, McGregor would kill him.
Definitely, definitely.
So we all know that. And mad respects going into his domain.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Hats off to him, dude. And anyone that was talking shit, like, you know, all around, you know, fighters can't hang with boxers. He kind of proved, you know what? This isn't my sport.
Well, it just shows you how limited.
You know,
boxing is.
He's normally used to fighting five-minute rounds, 25 minutes, dude.
Yeah, I think he gassed out after 25. So he was at eight rounds.
Yeah, by seventh round, you can tell, okay, homeboy is getting tired.
Yeah, so that's around 24, 21 minutes already.
Yeah, easily, dude. So, again, great fight, dude. Unfortunately, not the outcome we were looking for, but fucking dope, dude. Ready to rock and roll, or do you got anything else?
Nothing really.
Okay, cool, man. Do you want to know what we spoke about 100 episodes ago?
So it's 101?
Okay, episode 101, we entitled hashtag solo mission.
Okay.
Sounds like my sex life. This one, we hit Twitter love shoutouts. What the fuck news? Divers found giant floating blob. Have no idea what it is. Woman buried alive. Funeral goers hear screams from the grave.
Jesus.
Right? We hit sex facts. Is the spray on condom finally coming? And then comic news, movie talk, killing joke news, comic reviews. We hit Magneto number 21, Deathstroke number 8. We are Robin number 2, All New Hawkeye number 4, Future Imperfect number 3, Punisher number 20, and Weird World number 2. Solo Mission. The only reason I can remember this was called Solo Mission is right after we recorded episode 100, you weren't able to make.
So who did you record it with?
I think Solo Mission.
Really? You covered all? No, because you weren't reading Weird World.
That was reading.
You were.
I was
okay.
I was reading Weird World.
World.
Yeah, dude. So that was one of those shots where I'm like, fuck it, let's see if I can do it solo. I was able to do it solo. I missed having you though.
Remember that one guy that did his solo show? Remember that one dude?
There was a, oh my God, okay, does he listen to the show?
I don't even know, man.
Do you know?
Do you remember his name?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Travis?
Was it Travis?
It was Travis.
The Travis show or something.
Yeah.
Travis D.
kind of. But it's tough to do solo, dude. And I think I did okay. I don't listen to myself. So I should have listened to that one. Actually, I will probably go back. Actually, that's bullshit. But so yeah, man, to know that I did it solo, I prefer having you. And I'll tell you why. We're going to go into some background of last week's recording. But we'll do that in a bit, dude. We're going to hit Twitter love shout outs first. A lot of people hit us up, dude. Ryan Burke, writer on Twitter, says, at Comic Syndicate 1. Love the podcast. I'm a comic creator. So if you ever need a guest on the podcast, I'd love to be a part of it.
Cool.
It was on Twitter. We had at @strange_label. It's strange label hit us up and DM'd me, dude. He says, when I was in junior high, a family moved next door to me from California. They were amazed by our snow. Ryan Stidfill was his name. He stole my NES copy of Excite Bike when they moved back. They gave Middle America a try for like a year. And he says, your accent reminded me of him. I hope his life is terrible for what he did to me. Excite Bike, best NES game ever.
Is that the one that goes, doom?
Yeah, you build down your own stage and shit like that. But that
fucked up, dude.
Somebody hit us up and like goes on a full story about some kid that fucked him over for his Excite Bike because one of us sounds like some dude that stole the
fuck
game.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that
and
guy.
And by the way, that game's awesome.
I know, dude. I still have the game. Yeah, right, dude. Eric, fair enough. Lopez hits us up. He says, at Comic Syndicate 1, at Mem the Beaner, at For the Villain. He says, hashtag like an idiot, I'm shouting out the answers at my phone because everyone answers too damn slow. That was funny.
Yeah.
Hashtag congrats on episode 200, especially the last question. So thanks a lot. Always much love, Eric. He is co-host of the Bearded Underachievers podcast about wrestling, WWE. If you guys like WWE, go out, search for him. He's dope. At Spectre Vision says, congrats to the boys at Mem Debuner, at For the Villain. 200 and still you guys don't give each other handies. Really?
Well, that's what we're doing all Saturday.
Right? I spawned back with LOL. Dude, that was the pregame warm-up. And every victory celebration afterwards,
we
LOL.
We tailgate handies, bro.
And then I say thanks for the love, dude. So Jonathan always fucking hitting us up, dude.
Thanks, bro.
At Nutshell underscore Noir, Lupe, she says, hope everyone enjoyed doing the podcast, hashtag Podern Family.
Nice.
And we're going to go into that right now. 6IX underscore Govea Christian on Twitter says, congrats to my boy at Comic Syndicate 1 for his 200th podcast. So thank you. And then friends of mine that listen to the show that don't use social media, just hit me up, text messages. My friend Daniel, Mary Ann, Lupe, they all said congrats on episode 200. So just like a simple text. My friend Lindsay, she hit me up and says, so proud of you, Josiah, see you for 200. So that people hit us up. And then last one was on Facebook, Lynn Addins. She says, hashtag Terminator, hashtag he said movies, not porn, hashtag this isn't Jeopardy, motherfuckers. And she says, porn, not a porn, is hysterical.
That was funny.
Okay. So
it was good.
We'll talk about that right now. So. Yeah. A huge shout out to RG and Carl, my coworkers from the office.
Yes.
Now, this is the brainchild of the game. And I don't even know what to call it still. Pop Culture Blitz is, I think, what we labeled it as. But it was just us shooting the shit every day about every topic, about every genre of sports, about old school news, about movies, shows we watched as a kid, or kids, movies, everything like that. That is pop culture based. I got the spark like, fuck, I should bring these to my boys. Now, last week was very ambitious, dude, as far as to get so many people on the same page using all the equipment we had.
Yes. I mean, I brought all the wires. I brought, we used every fucking wire.
Everything we
had. I didn't think I was going to use all these wires, but the mixer was in full effect. We had everything plugged in. We had fucking Yetis hooked up.
Yes.
And we had fucking mics hooked up.
A grip load of guys. We had Aaron. So again, Sergio, Aaron were one team. Pablo, Sadie was another team. You and Albert were the other team. So yes, three teams. Were. And Johnny was my backup on scores.
Yes.
Did you have fun?
It was fun.
Okay.
It was funny. It was really competitive.
Yeah, it kind of was, though, right?
And yes, it was awesome. Good job, dude, on your part.
No problem, dude. It was like a kind of like a love letter. It is the gayest way I'm going to tell you guys. Like, it was a love letter to my friends. Like, we have the ability to do this and have you guys all together in one shot, or at least try. We have the ambition. I have the ambition to, like, let me get my boys together and just write something for them so they can have fun with it.
Very
from what I got and read out of you guys, it looked like you guys were fucking having fun.
It was funny.
I never listened to our podcast, but I needed to listen to last week's episode 200 because it's all my boys together,
yes,
hanging out, shooting the shit. You guys had me cracking fucking up.
It was
dude.
Pretty funny, man.
Everyone was busting each other's balls like we always do, but the shit talking was fucking great.
Yeah, if you haven't guys listened to it, please go back and listen to 200. It's hilarious. Joel put a lot of work into it.
It was dope, dude. So again, huge shout out to Carl and RG because of you guys. I, you know, got that spark to write it, so it was fun. Let's talk about some back behind the scenes, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, so we set up and we start doing sound checks with everyone.
And it's a mess.
Total mess. Like, this is what you guys do not know. And we're going to talk a little bit because it's stories you guys kind of need to hear.
Fuck, man.
We had issues with the mic. We had issue with the Yeti. We had issue with...
the Yeti was the big fucking...
Bitch to us. It's such a dope fucking mic, and it was the biggest bitch I've fucking encountered in a while.
Well, it's not made to hook up to a mixer because it's a USB. We didn't get the real expensive one. So it was hard. And we needed the Yeti for everybody in the back because we didn't have enough mics for mm-hmm. every single person. There was like 9 people there.
Easily, yeah.
So it was insane. So we fucking said, you know what? Let's just go to fucking Best Buy.
Best Buy. I'm going to pull the trigger. I'm going to get us a new fucking Yeti mic.
New Yeti. And then we fucking used it.
We used that bitch, abused her, and then took her back.
Took
her right back, dude. So once we got that down, I realized a lot of things. After talking about episode 101, I did Solo Mission. And then this, thinking about it and listening to it, like it made me realize more like how much I fucking need you, dude.
Why? Fuck, dude. You're the one that comes up with everything. So I wouldn't even have... I would never do a solo show. I wouldn't know what to talk about. I can't read. So what the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
We need each other for these things.
Definitely, definitely. Now, okay, here's another side behind the scenes story that I gotta share. Now, I think this was still with our original Yeti. We had issues with it. It kept turning off on us. Now, as we're doing sound check, Adam and I and Sergio had headphones, so we can like try to figure out like it's sound check. Let's yes. record for. That's why I needed you guys for 3 hours. You know, everything makes sense, like how much the timing and everything. I tried to get you guys out of there. You know, we were out of there quicker.
Yeah, it wasn't that long.
So there was a story Johnny was telling us, and the company he works for, he was telling us about somebody that had gotten impaled.
Someone got stabbed.
And literally got impaled and like got chink. A fucking giant fucking piece of metal impaled homeboy.
Just blood everywhere.
And
that's why I heard.
Yeah.
Blood everywhere.
Now he's telling this really sad story, and because Adam and I are headphoned up and we're doing the sound check, nobody knows that the mic has died. So Adam and I, several times when the mic would die, we would look at each other, and at this moment we happen to look at each other like the mic's just died, and we look at each other and we give each other that look like. Oh, fuck. Like, should we tell them? And then we kind of start laughing about it. I'm like, sorry, Johnny. Like, you know, fuck your story, but this...
We cut it.
It was so... Like, I feel bad. Like, I had empathy, but it was just... I sounded like a dick because I just looked like I brushed over. Like, this guy almost died. Oh, fuck it. That sucks.
He's just fucking bleeding in my hands, and I felt so sad.
Soul escape in his body.
That's enough.
I know, right?
That's a goddamn nut.
So that was one. This was off air, though. Now, one of the things that happened on air, and again, it was hard for me to juggle so much or to see you guys, but everything that was going on, your answers were fucking hilarious to me. Now, there was one point on the pod I was listening, and I know at the exact moment it happened because you bought me enough time.
Yes.
There was a segment, I think it was still like, you know, what the fuck, Twitter love still, and the mics died. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's all we got for that. And then you nonchalantly, and then I heard it too, the mic go off. This mic we just bought. And Adam's like, no, and he bought me enough time. I'm like, because I caught it too. I heard that thump or whatever.
Yeah.
And we knew like, oh, fuck, so now I have to... buy us enough time, but Adam's buying me time after saying this where I'm like, fuck, what do I have at the ready to do something? We work really well together, dude. So that's why it's I loved it. It was fun. It was funny. That was total behind the scenes. We also have several things. We have the precursor fake show, learning the show.
Yes, we have a 2.
How long was that?
200.1. I think it's like 20 minutes.
20 minutes. So cake show. So anytime we, I say we just bank it, And okay. when there's a day, it's like, well, fuck it. We have nothing. At least if I can't make it over, I'm going to literally have you be like, hey, guys, this is episode 200.1 filler.
Yes.
Give it a listen. That but you have to talk and intro the show.
No problem.
Okay. Now, we're going to save that. If you guys want to listen to it, we are going to bank it. We can send it out soon, but we're just going to bank it and sit on it.
Sit on it for a while.
Yeah. And the last thing about episode 200 that's hilarious to me, not just you guys having fun, and you guys cracked me up. Like, so many fucking funny lines from that fucking show. Everyone clowning each other was just dope. Lode Warrior, first of all, was fucking dope. The porn, not a porn. Like, there were so many topics I asked. I asked, quote, this. I asked MMA talk, which was interesting. I think you guys would have loved. I asked one more topic, but I'm like, okay, let me just bring enough content, dude.
Yeah.
If I were to do something like that again, and now that you guys know how to play, I was confident in any team that would have got put together.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we all worked good together. It was funny, hilarious. So, good questions. It was
okay,
good.
Man. Dope. Dude, that's all I got for that. Last one is going to be, I believe that is it, man. Okay. We have plenty of time, right, dude?
Sure.
All right. Do you want to hit one of two articles real quick? Or I'll let you choose one, dude. Why scientists want AI regulated now before it's too late, or U.S. parents largely unaware of what their children do online?
I'll go with the online.
Okay. This is going to be U.S. parents largely unaware of what their children do online, research finds. The parents of America's digitally literate teenagers are largely in the dark about their children's internet activity. New research has shown. The new study on teen internet use by the National Cybersecurity Alliance found that only 13% of teens thought their parents understood the extent of their internet use.
Hell no, they don't.
I would say none.
No. No.
Now, you might have those tech-savvy parents that put on the legit parent controls.
Well, I mean,
even which I would do
Snapchat and shit like that.
Now that's the kicker. You can't regulate that, or even text of dick pics or anything like that. Really? I mean,
that's what I was gonna say. Dick pics, chichi pics.
Exactly. I mean, who's to say, dude? The survey of 804 online teens and 810 parents of teens found that 60% of teens have created accounts for apps or social media sites without their parents' knowledge. So there you go. Only 28% of parents thought their teens had accounts they didn't know about.
How many? 13%?
28% of parents.
That sounds about right. I thought it might be a little higher. I thought it might be 40%.
Right? Kind of, yeah. The gap between the teens the gap between what teens are doing and what their parents know about is indicative of what the NCSA is calling a digital disconnect between American teens and parents, which, yes, it's a given, dude.
Yes.
I mean, my dad doesn't know how to use the fucking internet still.
Well, I mean, that era is going to be going away. So, like,
kind of.
So these kids will have their kids and they'll know, unless it becomes way more, more advanced.
Yes.
I don't know how more advanced. I guess it could be more advanced. I don't know.
Technology is only going to get fucking crazier, dude. Another example of this disconnect was the wide disparity between how many parents say they have certain rules for their teenagers' online activities and how many teens agreed. The study found that 67% of parents said their children were required to report online incidents that made them scared or uncomfortable, but only 32% of teens reported their parents had imposed such a rule.
Well, I could see that.
Okay. Now, bullying was a fucking big thing.
Bullying.
The big thing now is online bullying, though.
Yes. And then, you know, I mean, online bullying. This guy made me feel weird. I opened up this fucking picture and this big sausage-looking penis looking at me.
I mean, just about, dude. Yeah, yeah. It's one thing to say my parents have a rule, but I don't follow it, remarked Michael Kaiser, executive director of NCSA. It's another to have young people saying that those rules don't even exist. I would probably be that kid. I'm probably still that kid.
Or we did shit that your dad didn't even know what was going
on. Oh, definitely, dude.
That's why we went to your house, bro.
Yeah. We got away with a lot of shit, dude. Helping their children navigate a digital adolescence is a major challenge for 21st century parents. And 62% of teens reported spending at least 5 hours on the internet every day. Wow.
That sounds low.
It sounds way low.
I mean, 5 hours after school?
In a day in general.
Okay.
Now, I spend my whole day online, sadly to say. But I work in an office where I need the internet.
Yes.
So that's 8 hours of work. Technically, that's 8 hours. I try to stay off my phone out of work. Mm. I just try to unplug completely.
When you're off the work. I'm the opposite. I don't get to do anything. I'm out there sweating my balls off. So when I get home, I'm fucking...
Phone. No, not movies. Phone,
movies. Yeah. Try to fucking read.
Read online.
Try to fucking read.
Yeah, I mean, same, dude. Much of it on mobile devices. Snapchat and Instagram have surpassed Facebook in popularity amongst teens aged 13 to 17, yeah. While other services such as messaging app Kick are also gaining ground. Go ahead.
The kids think Facebook's for old people. I mean,
it kind of is. Dude.
Do you have a Facebook coach?
Because parents are more Facebook involved.
Well, I mean, back when Facebook was coming around, MySpace was the best.
Was the hookup site.
Get fucking laid every night if you want to on MySpace. But
I kind of miss MySpace. I mean.
Facebook.
Well, solo mission over here.
It's a little different on Facebook. You don't have so much freedom as you did on MySpace.
Many parents don't use or understand these apps. True. And not everything that happens online is pretty.
No.
Horror stories about app-enabled kidnapping make headlines, which I think we've had spoken about that before. But 39% of teens reported someone being mean or cruel to them online in the past year. That kids even report something like that, they have to be aware. And like, yeah.
You know what? Grow some fucking balls, dude. You know what? They're going to make fun of you.
Yeah, but if they have no self-esteem, dude, and kids don't know how to deal with self-esteem, and hence the whole depression thing.
Well, get ready for life, fucker.
Well, that's what I'm saying. All right, listen to this show, kids.
You're going
to
be fucking made fun of your whole life. You're crying right now. Guess what?
Kind of. But it comes down to the parenting, too, and how they were raised.
Pussies.
Well, sometimes that's what it is, dude. About 1 in 4 said the cruelty related to their sexual orientation, gender, or race, and 1 in 5 said it was related to their religion. And we didn't even talk about fucking religion talk. I mean, really, like, people, it's coming down to the point now where it's always been around, dude.
Yeah, but I don't see a lot of people saying...
Fucking... whatever. Guys, fill in the blank
what's
religion.
What's up, guys? Let's go, you know, praise Jesus. You know, when they're online, they're not talking about this shit.
No, but different
religion. They are talking about their sexuality, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's more kids to come to terms with their sexuality that are able to come out at a younger age now. Which is good for them, you know, but for them to get shit, not cool. I mean,
it's just fucking life, bro.
No, amen. I'm just reading the article.
It's just life.
Hey, dude, if we're going to go there, I totally back you up. Like, I totally back up. It is life, but again, you need to have good people. You need to be strong. But we've been through it, and we were always hard-skinned anyways.
Well, hang out in different rooms that are people that you're the type of people.
That's pretty much what it is. But then you have those trolls too, that do jump room to room just to fucking get a rile out of people and just to talk shit. And those are the biggest pussies.
That's fucking fun, dude.
You know, rather than attempting to crack down on teens' internet usage or trying to figure out every new app that comes along, parents should accept that they cannot know everything, Kaiser said. A lot of the emphasis has been on knowing everything your child does online. Tracking their downloads, understanding every new app that comes out, that's got to be hard to do for a parent.
It's a full-time job.
It's having a kid, dick. Don't have a kid if you're not fucking ready for it either, though.
I mean, if you had a kid, you're not going to fucking stare at him on the internet the whole time.
Okay, this is the best porn site, kid. Okay, worst parent ever. We think that parents should probably move away from trying to understand everything their kid is doing online and toward helping their kid negotiate their online lives and make decisions. Jesus. That means helping children develop resistance and resilience to the bad things online. So that's what I'm saying. That's what we're both saying. It's a connection of what we're both saying. So yeah. I'm saying be there for the kid so they're not fucking pussies. And you have to have that relationship with your kid too, where it's like, hey, pussy, you need to stop being a little fucking pussy.
Stop being a bitch.
Yeah,
it's okay. If he calls you a fucking loser, who cares?
Yeah. It's not.
Stop being a loser.
Exactly, dude. And arming them with problem-solving skills so they'll know who to turn off if they need help. It's not about the technology itself. It's about how you use it, he said. A car can drive multiples of the speed limit. Okay, I read that right. You have to teach them to drive well. Oh, so that's what he's...
Oh, I get it. That's
yeah. Okay, now, interesting article. But kind of true.
It's just going
to
get
like,
worse.
I'd be curious to ask, well, Sergio's daughter's too young. Sadie's daughters are getting older. Listeners, hit us up. Like, do you guys monitor your fucking kids? Like, we know a lot of you guys have fucking kids.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys? And I'm pretty sure they have a way around it.
Oh, I'm sure they do, dude. And technology and just everything. I mean, text messages too. I mean, everything, dude.
If you think you're fucking funny and have that Facebook friend that you made up just to see what your kid's doing, he or she knows that that's you. They're not dumb.
Exactly.
You know, come on now.
Okay. And my friend Myra on Instagram, Snapchat, it says, LMAO. I love how he just shakes his head. LMAO. So that was a Snapchat we just put out right now. The last shout out I'm going to give is our fantasy football league starts Saturday. Our draft is a live draft on Saturday at 7:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Okay, got it.
Do you want to know who we have in real quick, and then we will rock and roll? All right, for that one we have... For the villain, at Mem the Beaner, Tustin Giants, we have Gold-Blooded Ricardo, we have Going Commandos, we have Nightwing Goes Jock, we have Hammer of Gore, we have Biggity Biggs Team, we have El Gallo Negro, we have Army of 12 Monkeys, and we have Freddy's Team along with Bobby's Team.
Nice.
So I'm fucking jazzed football season, but so many injuries already in preseason.
I know. I heard my
Julian Edelman is one of the guys. Dude,
is he really out?
He's Dunsky's, dude. I think it was ACL. Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. got his ankle jacked up, but he's okay, was what they say. Wide receiver Cameron Meredith from the Bears, his knee. Kansas City running back Spencer Ware, another ACL injury. Buffalo Bills Tyrod Taylor has suffered a concussion already. And Cincinnati Bengals, Vontaze Burfict got suspended already 5 games for an illegal hit. He's a dirty fucking player. Fuck that guy.
Fuck Bengals.
Fuck the Bengals straight up, especially because they're in my division. All right, man, commercials, rock and roll.
Cool. Go to the website, thecomicsyndicate.com. You're going to find banners. You're going to find an orange one. It is Amazon. Go ahead and click it, bookmark it to your computer, and buy whatever you're going to buy. It does not cost you any more. It helps us out. We appreciate for the people that have helped us. Thank you so much.
You guys are awesome. We appreciate it.
We got Freedom Vapes. If you're looking for a vape shop and if you are a vapor or looking to become a vapor, they're really nice people there. They don't make you feel like a fucking idiot like some vape shops do. They will help you. They will help you find the right juice for you. They will hook up your shit together and be very cool guys. I shop there. Joe shops there. And I guess if you say the Comic Syndicate, they'll give you 10% off.
Yeah, if anybody goes. And I don't know how it works online, but yeah, just jump in and say, I heard you guys on the Comic Syndicate, you guys will get 10% off, dude.
Good stuff, man. Frosting
Avenue, Johnny's company, is on there, and they do great work. They have beautiful cakes, pastries, and I believe cookies and cupcakes as well, dude.
Yes.
We have a few other things. But yeah, jump on there. Amazon more than anything, guys. Find the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Anywhere you guys can find podcasts, just subscribe, share us, rate us. We totally appreciate the love, guys. We will be right back with
Comic Talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk. Okay, we're back.
Comic Talk.
Comic Talk time, or one of the best parts of the show I love.
Dope. Let's rock and roll then, dude. Before we do that, dude, on Snapchat, Peanutty Goodness just says, ha 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 ha, best catchphrase ever. That could either be fuck me or take two. Probably take two. All right, man, we got a lot of fucking comic news to get through, dude. Let me know your thoughts on this. Stranger Things creators confirm season 3.
Wait, season 2 hasn't even come out yet.
Exactly. Somebody fucked up on an interview, one of the kids.
Oh.
Yeah, we're all coming back for season 3.
You're fucking fired.
That's pretty much what it was.
Bully him now.
Next one's going to be Good Omens. David Tennant, Michael Sheen, cast as Crowley and Aziraphale.
Yeah, I never know how to pronounce his name.
That one's always a tough one.
It's a great fucking book. If you haven't read it, it is...
It's a hilarious. Great book. Neil Gaiman, who did Sandman, who's famous for Sandman.
Terry Pratchett?
Yeah, Terry Pratchett.
He's a very funny writer.
It's a great book. It's about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's about
the Antichrist.
Being born and getting switched somehow accidentally at the hospital with a regular kid. So they think the regular kid is the Antichrist. So
and the Antichrist went to a Christian family.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
It's so good, dude. It's yeah, just check it out, guys.
It's not even a hard read. It's a real short book.
Yeah, it's not. It's a quick good. Read, it's though. Very yeah, good. We have a. Let's do. Oh, Chris Columbus has penned a twisted and dark script for Gremlins 3. He's the guy who originally did part 1. I like the fucking Gremlins. I'm a huge fan. Okay, grew up right with now. The Gremlins, dude.
Don't feed him chicken, you stupid fuck.
I would, yeah, exactly. I would be down with that, dude, especially if it's darker, dude.
You think it'd be darker?
Yeah, that's exactly what
part wrote. 2 was fucking
comedy, like stupid
shit. Okay, I'm down for that.
Marvel talk, dude. We're going to hit Silver and Black. Norman Osborn may appear in Spider-Man spin-off film, which is Silver Sable and Black Cat.
Okay. I like Osborn.
The
dad or the fucking son?
Norman Osborn. So the dad.
Okay, I like
that. So I'm down with that, dude. Marvel may introduce Richard Rider, which is Nova, in the MC universe.
Okay.
I want to see that, dude. We're huge fucking fans of Nova and young little Nova, dude. Now
I haven't read for a while, though.
Neither have I, dude. Yeah. I don't read anything anymore, dude. Right. Gambit film has started over, Channing Tatum reveals.
So he's still going to play the fucking...
Yep. According to star Channing Tatum, the success of fellow X-Men spinoff films Logan and Deadpool has opened up doors for Gambit. So they had a script somewhat written, and it's like because those movies did so well, they want to do more with... They want to... I love Gambit, dude.
Yeah, you do.
If they do something that is dark or funny or witty as Wolverine / Deadpool or Logan / Deadpool, fuck it. Do it.
Give it, man.
Give me a good fucking movie.
Sweet. I'm down for that.
Sam. Okay, now DC, we're going to fucking rip on for a while, dude. So much DC fucking news came out, dude. Joker movie reportedly in development with Martin Scorsese. WB is developing a Joker origin film with a new, possibly younger actor to play the character. The Joker may just get the last laugh. Reports that WB is developing a Joker origin film with a new, possibly younger actor to play the character. Okay, now... This one is going to be outside of... This is going to sound so convoluted. It's supposed to be outside of the DC extended universe that's going on right now.
So just like a...
It's just a movie about Joker because everyone loves the Joker.
God damn it. Well, why don't you just put Harley Quinn in the show?
Well, that's...
You know, I mean, god damn it.
Now, man. Joker... Now, this is outside. That's outside of what the movies are about. But DC says, you know what? Fuck it. Joker and Harley Quinn movie reportedly in development at WB.
Of course.
So Jared Leto and Margot Robbie.
Oh, my God.
That's been greenlit, dude.
Jerry Leto, whatever the fuck his name is. No.
Yeah. No, dude. So more fucked up DC.
God.
So there were reports that The Batman, which is Ben Affleck, his solo movie, is not going to be part of the extended universe.
Nice. So it's just a fucking...
But then DC said, no. Actually, the director said, no, of course it's part of the extended universe.
So
DC still does not know what the fuck they're doing, dude. But they're like, fuck it. Throw everything at the fucking wall. Whatever fucking sticks. Wonder Woman did so good. Yeah, and it wasn't a good movie.
It was a good movie.
It was good. It wasn't great, though. Rumor, Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor was cut from Justice League, though. So that's great news.
Thank God.
That guy was terrible, dude. I don't know who said it was.
Who the fuck? I don't know.
Yeah. And then Doctor Strange co-writer, I really enjoyed Doctor Strange, the movie, Marvel, though, is going to work on Justice League Dark movie.
Okay.
Which is,
okay,
dude, fucking Swamp Thing.
Oh, if
Constantine,
all those dudes.
All right, man, so that's all I got for comic news. DC, we'll just recap it with, they don't know what the fuck they're doing, dude.
No, they don't.
So, yeah, man, that's about it.
Hector hit us up,
Go for it.
What the shit about the Defenders?
What's your take on it? I still have not seen the Defenders yet.
I have not seen it. I'm planning on seeing it, but maybe Labor Day weekend. It's this weekend, isn't it? Labor Day weekend?
Oh, fuck me. I hope so. 4-day weekend, if that's the case.
Yes, I think it is. Okay, so let's see. I read...
Go for it. Start it up.
A Valiant book 4001 AD, War Mother number one. It's written by Fred Van, I don't even know how to say his last name.
Fred Van Lent. Ooh, Fred Van Lent? Venti, yeah.
And the artist is Steven
Segovia.
Segovia. Sounds, that's actually a pretty fucking cool
name. It's kind of a strong name, dude, yeah.
Okay, so I'll just read you real quick what I got took from it. So we got Anna is the protector of the Grove and its people. So the Grove is kind of like a little town, little city. As chief warrior, and resource collector of the city, she always had a violent, difficult job. But since the Grove crew ruler, Salvan was struck down, things have become tougher. Anna is now the Grove's leader, but the town has fallen into hard times and food and resources are very limited. So that's how the story starts.
Okay.
Anna has this rifle and it's kind of like an AI picture of a little blue dude built into the gun, and it talks to her. It's like an AI, like kind of like Halo has like that fucking,
oh, dope,
like that. Some travelers have got into some trouble with some brand of bird-like creatures, and the AI tells her, okay, where to shoot. Okay, I can see that this guy has a little grenade on his side, so shoot that. And that's one of the creatures. They all get blown up. Just by the few panels, we see that Anna can take care of herself in these few panels. She's running around shooting people, fucking backflips, whatever. She's really good at what she does. She tries to save the travelers as they kind of look like doom-like creatures, metal and human flesh. Okay. And these bird guys were kind of like burning them in acid to take the just the metal parts.
Okay.
So killing the person inside.
To use the metal.
Just get the metal.
So like cybernetic pieces.
Yeah. So they were just burning them and taking what they could find.
Crazy. Okay.
The AI is called Flacco, a symbiotic weaponized type gun like we just talked about. But she doesn't really see the gun as a gun, but as her son. And she's the mother.
Oh, like interesting.
They have that really close relationship.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, the story goes, there was a message sent out to a couple weeks back. And this is the reason why everyone is at this place. It's like a giant fucking building with housing and stuff. It's like a giant complex.
Yeah.
Right, type thing. So they're there for resources. And after killing their leader, after Anna killed the leader of the Grove, mm-hmm. she's taken up as mother leadership. And her people are really in need of resources. Her husband is having trouble with her for being so strong-willed. You know, he's being a little bitch. And after saving the travelers, she tells them to come back in a month. And we're going to be set up shop here. I'm going to bring all my people here. We're going to fucking live here. You're not going to live here, dude, motherfuckers. But you can come and trade with us.
Okay.
So she sets that up. However, before the travelers, they get out the door, they are taken up from underground by some kind of like something pulls them underground, some kind of monster. So Anna doesn't see that, obviously. So Anna stands at the giant building that was supposed to have 200 stories, but the AI counted only 100. She's like, hey, dude, where's the extra 100 stories of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
She sends a firework to tell her people, hey, it's okay to come now.
Mm-hmm.
Start heading over, make their way over. But at that point, Anna is taken up by some kind of unknown baddie, like some kind of the same monster that took the travelers has taken her down underground. And now her people are actually coming, thinking that it's fucking A-okay, when in reality it's not. So it was a really good book. The art is so great, really good art, flows really well. I'll probably just keep reading this.
Awesome, and that's a Valiant title.
Yes.
You've been on a Valiant kick for a while, dude.
Reading something different, you know. I'm tired of the Marvel bullshit.
I'm kind of tired of Marvel, dude, for sure. I have two back-to-back Batmans.
Sweet.
I had nothing to read, so I guess I'll jump in. First one's going to be Batman number 28. Tom King's the writer. Mikhail Janine is the artist. June Chung is the inker. Batman 28, The War of Jokes and Riddles, Part 3 starts off. So you and I had a conversation. What time does this take place? It starts off during Zero Year. So the War of Jokes and Riddles. This is when it all went down. So after that went down, this is Batman trying to be Batman for his after his first big mission against the Riddler, with James Gordon before the, you know, before he's even the commissioner, getting walked through Gotham as if he's a prisoner. And it sucks because he's like kind of stripped down just to his fucking underwear. He's shackled up. And then we get Batman's inner monologue speaking of how crazy this personal war between the Joker and the Riddler has gotten and how they've destroyed Gotham because of it. Like, they are setting it ablaze, and this is before Batman's full-on knows how to break situations down.
Jesus.
Yeah. So he's seen his city literally get plastered up, dude. And then it's cool because all these villains are taken aside between the Joker and the Riddler. The Upper West Side belonging to the Joker, while the Riddler has the East Side. And then we get exactly why Jim Gordon is into this predicament he's in now. He wanted to work a deal out with both of them to end the war. So each one in the same to end the war was, I want to kill Batman. Provide me with Batman and fucking, I want to be the one to kill him. Mm-hmm. And we'll fucking, I'm going to end this war. But that's the whole war, is they both want to kill Batman, and they want to be the one responsible for killing Batman. Mm. So it's really cool, dude. Then we see the factions that one of the people that didn't choose a side was Catwoman during all of this. So it was cool. We get another page of Bruce telling Selina this. Like, the whole story is him. He just asked Catwoman, Selina Kyle, to marry him. They're in the Wayne mansion, and he just proposed to her, and they're both fucking like in bed, and he's like, there's something I have to tell you. This is, you know, something nobody knows about. And this whole story is about what he had to do during this war, then jumps back to the Battle of Snipers, which is a really dope page. We see Deadshot versus Deathstroke, both ready to assassinate Jim Gordon. And it's really cool because they both are on top of a building across from each other, and they're both out to assassinate Jim Gordon, but they're both on different sides of the factions, so they're both so good they each try to take a shot at each other. And they both have sniper rifles, but it's a dope page and panel.
I bet it is.
And it's cool because,
like, what's up, puto? Hey.
And one shoots at the other one shoots, and their bullets keep fucking pegging each other, like, because they're that fucking good, dude. So that was really cool to see, dude. Then we get another sick splash page now of their scrap lasting 5 days through Gotham. So they say, fuck it, fuck killing Commissioner Gordon. It's like, you shot at me, Dick. So we see them scrapping, but throughout Gotham, like, and they're swordsmen, they're gunslingers, but they don't care who they kill in the background. So it's really fucked up because now Batman is watching this. Many civilians are dying, 62 by this point. As the story continues with Selina, he tells her, this is how many people fucking died that I witnessed die. So he's telling her this, and we see how he kind of lost it or lost focus on Joker or the Riddler because he's trying to stop these two badasses. Because they're killing so many fucking people, but he finally decides, like, he has to stop these two assholes right now. So he finally does, and it's really fucked up because these guys have been fighting for 5 days fucking straight, and he finally goes out and stops them. So he kind of was smart about it because he kind of waited, kind of like Mayweather, till they were both fucking tired, and he's 100% fucking ready to fight. He starts scrapping with both of them, dude. And it's really, don't see it, but you see Batman snap, dude. You see his inner monologue, and at the end, how he felt guilty for going so far. And this one, it ends by saying, shattered upper jaw, orbital socket, right cheekbone, all shattered. Then a blood clot that ruptured between his skull and his brain, needing to go to surgery and barely surviving.
Jesus.
With the doctor saying it was a miracle. So Batman kind of, again, you see him snap and wail on these guys where he fucks them up. And the only way they survived was because of a miracle. But Batman, his whole thing is, I'm not going to kill. But taking it to the point where he just lost it and almost killed someone. So that's one of the things he feels bad about, I guess. Mm-hmm. Telling Selina, I guess. That was number 28.
As he bangs her.
Yeah, exactly, dude. She's still in bed, dude. Batman number 29, The War of Jokes and Riddles, Part 4. Tom King still the writer. We love him, dude. Mikael Janine is the artist. June Chung is the inker still. Starts with Alfred preparing a meal at an empty table. But as the story goes on, we see all the villains of Batman's rogue gallery at Wayne Manor having dinner. So we literally see this long-ass table in the dining hall one end is Joker, the other is the Riddler. And Bruce Wayne is sitting in the middle. And he's trying to pretty much talk them out of it, dude. So it's just really cool because he gives them an option. He's like, I'll pay you guys whatever the fuck you guys want. Like, you guys really have to end this fucking war. Like, you guys are ripping apart Gotham. Like, you guys, I'll pay you guys each fuck. I'm a billionaire. Like, I will give you each fucking cash money just so you guys can both walk away. And they're both like, nah. He's like, well, what do you fuckers want then? Bring him up. Bring me fucking Batman so I can kill him.
Jesus.
And it's really cool because during this whole fucking thing, you can see the tension and the way Tom King is writing it. You can feel the tension in the room. And they just want to fucking kill each other too, dude. And they want to... Yeah, so there's this... And I don't think it's been written before, like, this struggle or conflict between the two characters where it's like they both want to kill each other, but
it's
they want...
It's a great, good story.
Yeah, definitely, dude. Yeah. So I've been liking it a lot. And the art has been fucking dope, dude. So this underlying tension between the two as they talk, it's just for dope. It's really dope, dude. And just... They're really antagonistic against each other. And it's funny because... one of them says, do you ever have to cut a man's head off? I mean, when he's still alive. And it's really cool because the way, again, the sadistic fucking twisted, they're both fucking sick and twisted. I love it, dude. So then they finally, you know, it goes down to Bruce again where he gives them an offer. He's like, okay, I want both of you to plead your fucking case and tell me why each of you guys want Batman. And I will fund one of you guys
the money to
get to go after and kill Batman. Mm-hmm. And this is all part of Bruce Wayne's plan. And then so he's able to keep things steady. But, I mean, again, there's some dope scenes in here. And then one of them answers the question, why Batman? Then we get a dope splash page of the two. He says, one of them says he's problematic. Then we get how the Riddler would kill him. Then how Joker would kill him. And they define, like, this is what I would do. I want to kill him. And wow, just their twisted versions of this is how I want to kill Batman. So he's like, okay, are you guys cool? So this story ends number 29 with Bruce Wayne telling Selina now, like, I had to choose a side I was going to work for to end this fucking war. So maybe another thing he feels bad about, that I had to choose the side of two assholes to stop this war. So it's not over yet, dude. I'm digging on it. That's all I've read, dude.
Crazy.
Go for it, dude. What you got?
That is all I have.
Oh, no shit. Okay, man. All right. That was fun, dude. We got our Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2017 draft this Saturday, dude. I'm looking forward to that. It's at 7:15, dude.
Sweet.
And pay attention to whoever's hurt right now, injuries, because there's a lot of fucking injuries, dude.
They should have an IR on it, right?
Oh, definitely, dude. Yeah, yeah. Sure. So everyone that came over last week, another huge shout out to all you guys. Johnny for helping me out. You fucking were plugged in. I wish you could have been more part of the show, but you were a huge part of it because I wouldn't have known the scores. Aaron, Sergio, Team 1. Pablo, Sadie, Team 2. Albert and Adam, Team 3. Nobody asked who's won yet, though.
I understand. I don't think anybody heard the whole thing, bro.
Yeah, dude. It was funny, dude. But I have trophies. I finally got the trophies for you guys.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So I'll give those to you guys. I'm going to request off day one of Football Sunday. And
we'll meet up.
Yeah, definitely. I'll give you guys the trophies then. But last thing was going to be fuck me. Besides that, oh, fuck, that's all I got, I guess. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. You guys can find my boy, Adam.
You can find me at MemTheBeaner on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can find me at ForTheVillain on Twitter. You guys can find the CSBell underscore Bell on Twitter. You guys can find me at Comic underscore Syndicate on Instagram. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. Share the podcast, and we will catch you guys next week.
Peace out.